Asian Pop Nation on Sin 90.7.
Welcome to Asian Pop Nation. This is Sin's flagship show for Asian music and pop culture, featuring a bunch of Asian people yapping about things we enjoy. Today's opening songs were Hella Boy Crazy by Tiffany Day and Incognito Mode by local artist Jackie. Incognito Mode is actually the final single ahead of his debut EP, which will be out in July. By the way, if you live around the Footscray area, Jackie will be playing the whole project at an intimate event at the Pride of Our Footscray bar on June the 19th. So, if you like what you just heard, be sure to add that event to your calendar. For today's show, you'll be hearing from Jesse, Annabella, Lee, Leisha, Ethan, Xenia, and me, Tracy. Wow, that's a big team. First up, we'll be talking about sports anime. We'll be discussing questions such as, what makes sports anime so compelling for so many people? What are some tropes that people don't like about the genre? And most importantly, will Lee ever convince sports anime hater Leisha to watch Haikyuu, which is apparently the best sports anime of our times? After that, the team will be switching tack to do an in-depth review of the first full-length album from K-pop girl group aespa. We'll be bringing together the K-pop contingent of the APN team to talk through the two excellent singles, Supernova and Armageddon, as well as the rest of the songs on this album. By the way, if you have not yet heard Supernova by aespa, which we played last week, I highly recommend that you check it out. But that's enough talking from me, let's play some more music. This next song comes from Eve, best known for being a member of Luna. This song features Lil Cherry and it's called Loop.
Hey, you're listening to Asian Pop Nation on Sin, the go-to show for all things Asian. We hit you with Yvie's Loop featuring Lil Cherry, a collab with Japanese producer Tomu Gugu and Hong Kong singer Mary Lam Lam called It's Okay with lots of exclamation marks and The Best Way to Face It by Taiwan's Chow. Look, I don't enjoy or know much about sports, so the best way to face it is to serve it to someone else. Here's the team now to chat about our love or hatred of sports anime.
So at the time of the recording, I am going to be seeing a movie tomorrow, which is Haikyuu, The Dumpster Battle.
Yo!
Great name. Great name.
Yeah. It was released in Australian cinemas on Thursday, May 30th. And I've just been engulfed by Haikyuu these past couple weeks, trying to catch up so I can understand The Dumpster Battle that I want to be watching in the cinema. I'm very excited. And off air, we talked about Haikyuu and sports animes and whether or not it was a genre we enjoyed. And there were very different opinions surrounding this genre. We decided that it would be very interesting to delve into the world of sports anime. So who would like to share your thoughts?
I mean, okay, I know this on like a personal level that Lee as well is a big like Haikyuu fan. This is our diehard.
Hey. And
it's not just her. I think like out of all the animes that are in the sports genre, that is like Haikyuu has always been talked about as like the top tier, best of the best sports anime. Like, oh, you don't know real sports anime until you see Haikyuu. It's the best. If you say you hate it, you don't. Until you watch Haikyuu, that's like gonna change your mind. But unfortunately, I am part of that demographic that I like haven't been able to actually tap into sports anime as a whole. So I'm very interested to see from like the other side, like Annabella and Lee. I don't know where Jesse stands on this specifically. about like, why do y'all like sports anime? And I guess you can use like Haikyuu as your example of why it's the best. Oh my God.
Hi.
Hi.
I like sports anime.
We should structure this as like a debate where like on the affirmative, should sports anime be allowed? We have our first speaker.
Oh my God. I'm not saying it's the bad genre. I'm like, it's just one that I know I have like a hard time getting into. And I'm not alone with this. If Xenia was here, she would also agree on me.
I think it's kind of like when you're like not in real life. I mean, like, there's people that watch real sports like soccer and stuff, and when their team scores, you're like, yes, like start cheering. It's kind of like similar feeling to me when I'm watching Haikyuu, because it's not only like a story is playing out, but also when the team that you're watching wins, you're also like, yes, this is so hype. And there's also the factor of like each character has their own story and their own growth. I'm just like, this is in the context of Haikyuu, by the way. But I think that's also why a lot of people think Haikyuu is the best sports anime.
The top of its class.
Every character has their own growth and character development moment. They're just likable people, high schoolers, and you just like you see them fall and then you see them rise, and then yeah, it's kind of like you're watching real sports, I guess. Like, same feeling.
Do you actually watch real sports?
No, I don't. I think after I watched Haikyuu, that was when I got into start watching like volleyball at the Olympics. Same with figure skating. Yuri on Ice did that. But I don't like watch sports religiously like that.
So it's like introducing sports to a whole generation of like house dwellers who never go outside.
It's probably like also because in primary school all my peers would be like, hey, like what footy team do you barrack for? And I would just be like, I don't even, what is this? I don't watch footy. So this is like my footy, my AFL.
If they did like an anime of like the AFL, would that make you like, now I need to start tuning in?
You know, it depends on the animation, depends on the story and how it's executed, I guess.
Do sports animes normally have a pipeline where they go into movies? I feel like this is the first I've seen it.
I think it's not just sports anime. It's like any popular anime TV series can go into a movie. But most sports anime have movies, I think.
Yeah, like Slam Dunk, which is the basketball one. Don't quote me on that. They have like an anime movie as well, which was like back in 2022. I don't know. It's just one of those where it's like, if I'm walking around Chinatown, I like saw the poster for it. And I'm like, oh, that's a movie now. I mean, with this one, the Haikyuu dumpster battle movie, what an amazing title. Is this movie like a prequel, sequel, or is it like a movie taking place in like a specific time period in the middle of the anime? What's going on over there?
From my understanding is that it comes after like the four seasons of the anime that exists. There's a specific match that it covers. Yes, the dumpster battle. I was struggling to find the words. I clearly do not watch sports or do sports. But I like Haikyuu.
Okay, so there's always like this cliche that's like, oh, the Fallen Powerhouse, which is like the team that we're following. They're battling with another powerhouse. Oh my god, I'm saying this like it's a Pokemon battle. No, they have a match with another old powerhouse of theirs. So they were like neck and neck back then. The team that we're following, like they fell off. They're in the flop era. But in this movie, they are like in the comeback, and this is like the matchup of history because they used to be like neck and neck, and it's like super hype.
Is that like a common sort of trope that exists in sports anime? There's always like a team that was so slay, and then they're now the flop, and then they're going up against like the new top dogs and sort of thing, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'll be rooting for the team I watched all along, or the one that's in their flop era trying to like come back. It's like the underdog sort of thing.
Exactly that, Lisha. Every single sports anime is always, oh, Fallen Powerhouse. Oh my god, what's that? A newcomer who's like,
oh, the newcomer,
good at like everything and beats everyone. Oh my god, you're gonna carry us to be like good again. That's like the cliches. One of the cliches.
And you eat it up.
Yeah, dude, it's so good. It's so hype. I love that.
Another funny thing about sports animes and a trope I've seen all around is like they treat like their seniors who are going to graduate as if they're gonna die. Oh, yes! They're never gonna see them again. Oh, it's just like the funniest thing. They're like, oh my god, this senior's about to graduate. What will we do without him or her? Whatever. And it's like,
yeah. Oh my god.
Going to high school.
It's their last chance at success. Like, this is the last match they're ever going to play. Like, if they fail, they die. But they're just graduating and go to college.
Yeah, they're pursuing further education. They're like, no. And they're moving to a college that's so far from the school and everything is it's over. Mm-hmm. They betrayed the team. It's, yeah. Oh my God, Jesse, you're so right about that.
Okay, but what's cool about Haikyuu is that because it's finished.
Oh my God.
See where each player ends up, like after high school, after college. So some of them actually continue to play in like the volleyball league in Japan, but then some people like run their own business now or whatever. So that's cool. And then another fun fact about Haikyuu and why I like it so much
is, oh my God,
that it coincides with, or it was going to coincide with the Olympics in Japan, because in, I think it was, so it got delayed till 2021, but when the manga was releasing, it would have been the day that they get to the Olympics, which is like, spoiler alert,
oh,
is the day that the Olympics started, like in real life. So that was like, whoa, like immersion ruined because COVID delayed it, but like but that was like so cool and hype for me.
We've got to take a time out to play some music, but before we can get back to the chat, we got to climb over some opening and ending songs from our fave sports anime, kicking it off with Galileo Galilei's Climber here on Asian Pop Nation. It's Asian Pop Nation time here on Sin. We played Galileo Galilei's Climber from Haikyuu Season 2, Sentimillimental Seishun no Enbu from the men's rhythmic gymnastics anime Bakuten, and Rude Out of First Paradise from Skate the Infinity, because we're talking about sports anime, in case you couldn't guess. So let's kick it back to the team to wrap up this discussion.
Oh, I was going to ask something, but I like don't know how to phrase it. I just, like, I'm coming from the lens of someone who, like, it's that sports anime as a genre is the one genre that I cannot get myself to, like, tap into. And for the longest time, I, like, don't know why. But when I look back at the list, basically for the listeners who don't know, we just have, like, a random list of various sports animes down. I realized, like, looking at most of them, the cast is always predominantly men, and it's like some shows I feel like are so it feels like the show taps more into like homoerotic, like that sort of end rather than the sport and us winning and da da da, like Free. Oops, I said it. Free, for example, which was another one of those big name sports animes that got really big. And initially I was like, oh my God, swimming? Hell yeah. I used to love swimming when I was in school. One of my favorites. And then I watched it and I'm like, how about this doesn't have anything to do with the sport itself? It is about all these men and like them almost having like, oh my God, my long lost lover moment, and he's in an opposing team. Like, I don't know. That a part of why I don't tend to watch sports anime is always like, sometimes I feel like that sort of aspect overtakes the sport part and like the, you know, the training arcs and watching the team win and lose and da da da. And also I kind of hate when there is a main character that immediately goes into the show very like OP. I like seeing them like fumble basically and work their way up. And Lee mentioned one of the most common tropes is having someone who is a newcomer who already like knows all the stuff or knows all the new stuff that the team doesn't know yet.
Leisha, have you watched Haikyuu before?
No, because there's too many episodes.
Okay, so here's my take is that Haikyuu doesn't do any of that. No queer baiting, no like rookies being OP. Like they actually fumble and like you see themselves like build themselves up and then like build the relationships with their team. But very true, the thing about like just fan service in Free. Because swimming, it's a swimming sports anime, by the way, if anyone doesn't know. So, you know, they're just like no shirt on all the time. And I guess they kind of focus on that and also like the water graphics.
Oh, that's also another thing. I feel like some sports anime, the actual like action, which is them playing the sport, sometimes I feel like it's so it sometimes looks like too slow for me. Like the way that certain animators go about like animating certain sports scenes, it just either feels too slow compared to like when you're watching a real sports game where things are happening like on the fly, or some of them use like an analogy in a way of like, oh, this character is almost like charging up their power and da 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 da. Like it gets like super hero powery-esque, yeah, when
like
it is
Super Saiyan.
Yeah. That type of stuff when it's like, girl, this is a basketball show. What is going on? Why is suddenly like the tiger image coming up and he's channeling like this sort of thing? It gets like into that territory and it's so like funny. Mm. But then I like feel like I can't take it seriously when, you know, they do stuff like that and then they actually win. I'm like, what the hell just happened, you know?
I think that's that type of cliche is in like this newer anime called Blue Lock, and it's about soccer.
I've heard of soccer. That
yeah, I keep seeing clips about like clips of the anime, and like one scene is just like this man dropping steel beams onto like the sports field, and like the capture was like, ain't no way this guy dropping like steel beams on high school football. Like this is not that serious. And I laughed so hard. But yeah, definitely like, yeah, charging up like, I don't know, like an attack or like a basketball maneuver. That's like, yeah, that like, that gets old. But Haikyuu doesn't do any of that. Like, I really think you should give Haikyuu a try. I feel like just like set off on the wrong animes.
I went on like the opposite field entirely.
Yeah, I think like most sports anime prior to Haikyuu was like just fan service and like made for women, I guess. But yeah, good stuff.
Haikyuu is she's the top for a reason. Mm-hmm, I mean, yeah. I've heard of other ones as well, and y'all experts can let me know if it's like worth a watch. Like Yaomushi Peta, which is the biking one. Chihaya Furu, which is the one sports anime that Xenia watches, but she says she watches it more on like the romance end of the spectrum. And then I also heard like Skate the Infinity is a really popular one as well. Like, are those worth looking into? Will that break my curse of not being into this genre?
I will start off by saying that if you want to get into sports anime, don't watch Yaomushi Peta or whatever
I agree.
There is one specific character. The best way I would describe him is like he acts very snake-like. Now, for those of you who don't know, Yaomushi Peta is basically a sports anime about racing on bikes. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, they're on something the bikes. Like that.
So basically, this one character, he looks and acts snake-like. And he rides his bike by whipping it side to side so easily that you're like, there is no way that you can ride a bike like that, stay upright, and keep moving forward. Like, if you search up a video or, like, just search up the anime in general, you will see an image of this guy. And it will put you off sports anime. So do not watch.
I feel like watching cycling races in real life is like a little bit on the mundane end. So maybe this kind of will give me the opposite effect of like,
have to spice things up.
They gotta spice things up to an extreme. That sounds insane. Oh my god. What's all the other ones here? Like, Welcome to the Ballroom.
That one I only saw because of the memes about it. Memes about it was they drew the characters with abnormally long necks.
Oh.
Yep.
And that's like a trend throughout a lot of sports anime, I think, where like some of the body proportions are just a little bit unrealistic.
Oh,
Haikyuu doesn't do that.
Oh my, everything comes back to this one really being the creme de la creme,
literally
of the top. I'm just like, oh, I don't want to be like, I watch sports in real life, because I don't all the time. There's just particular ones that I do watch. I feel like with anime specifically, it's just the way they animate the actual like sport bit, sometimes it always like takes me out because it loses that adrenaline rush for me sometimes. But yeah, no, with Haikyuu again, maybe I'll watch them do one netball volleyball, netball,
volleyball.
I will watch them do it, and then my life will like change for the better. Like, and then because I feel like part of what kills the momentum as well is because like the characters will always have a moment where they're about to like hit the ball or do something, and then it cuts to them doing like an inner monologue right in the middle of that. And to me, it's like that kills the momentum. It's like when I watch Shonen and right before they're doing the attack, they're having like a 10-minute solo monologue about like, this is why I'm going to charge up my power and where does this power come from? And if I hit this person, it's going to hit at a 30-degree angle. And da, 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 da. Like that always kills the momentum for me.
Wait, that's so funny. Like, I don't No, I don't think Haikyuu does that, if that's what you're asking.
I know it happened in like other shows. I've seen happen. And I'm like, girl, get me back to the action, please. Mm. I can't do this anymore. Especially with certain sports animes where you know the actual sport itself goes like so fast. Like Initial D, which is like the car racing one, actual car racing goes like, you know, speed. But they're having like internal monologue all the time, which I know builds character. I know it's for the character development. But when you're in the race itself, I'm like, oh, zoom, zoom, zoom. But yeah, I guess no, at the end of the day, the moral of the story seems to be Haikyuu on top, better than the rest, the other girls.
I didn't even know Haikyuu was like considered the top of the top, but I guess this discussion sort of made me realize, oh, like this is why it's considered the best, because it doesn't do any of like all that stuff. But yeah, Alicia, maybe you should check it out.
And then when I do, and then after that I'll be like, oh yes, no, the dumpster battle, that is the piece.
You will shed a tear like I did.
Oh yes. My gosh.
Enjoy the dumpster battle tomorrow.
Oh yes, Annabella. Enjoy the battle, the big battle of the century. Report back. I think because it's going to be a movie, for sure the actual like volleyball matches are going to be like animated to the T as well. So, oh my gosh. It's going to be a treat for the eyes.
If you find sports and intense physical activity too difficult, maybe the song will be more to your liking. From Gesu no Kwami Otome's latest album, this is Hardmore. You're tuning into Asian Pop Nation on Sin. That was Hardmore by Gesu no Kwami Otome. King and Princess Move, that is with 3 O's and 2 exclamation marks, and Aespa's Armageddon, because we're about to dive into Aespa's latest album. But before that, it's time to pay for your sins. Here at Sin, we're running a radiothon from now until June 30 to reach $10,000 in donations and 100 subscribers. All donations over $2 are tax deductible and will directly support Sin and our thriving community of young people. We know that times are tough, but every dollar counts, and if you can't donate, just get the word out so you can keep hearing the content you love and that you want to hear. Anyway, Armageddon out of here so that Aespa's Mies can step in.
Aespa has come back with their first full album ever, and it's called Armageddon. Very fitting title for the times we live in. The K-pop contingent on this show have been listening to and thinking a lot about the new album. And in this segment, we are going to regurgitate all our thoughts out at you because our brains cannot contain them any longer. This album was released on the 27th of May, so 4 days ago, most with two, they call them like title tracks, but they're really singles, Supernova and Armageddon. We actually played Supernova last week. It's a really fun song that I liked immediately. And I don't know whether or not you two had the same experience.
I really liked it from like the get-go. It was one of those immediate like hits to me. I love when Aespa is in their very like fun, quirky bag. I mean, Spicy was my most listened to track on Spotify last year. With Aespa, I feel like I just really do love their very fun side. And I think Supernova is just, oh, it's just so fun. I love the dance break bit as well. I replayed that part so many times, guys. It's a bit of an obsession. But yeah, from the get-go, I really liked it. And the MV is so fun. But Mr. Ethan. I don't know about you.
I agree with you about Spicy. I really like Spicy because I think that's like the quintessential aespa song. They have other songs that I really, really like as well. Probably more than Spicy, but Spicy to me is like what aespa is in terms of like their sound and what they're trying to go for. Like it's very experimental, but it's also very fun and kind of tongue-in-cheek and like super upbeat and that sort of stuff. And so yeah, when you come to Supernova, I think you definitely see that. But yeah, I definitely do agree. Supernova is a lot of fun. A lot of the lyrics are kind of otherworldly in a very literal sense. If you guys are interested in like some kind of techno, like rave music.
It's definitely a rave song. Yeah. I have a playlist which is called like It's the Year 3000 and SM runs state mandated discos, and that song is on it along with like Gravity by EXO and a few key songs. To me, it sounds like racing down the highway in a video game. Like it has that sort of fun imaginary world vibe to it. And it definitely does remind me of Thirsty a lot. They definitely belong to the same universe.
Yeah, for sure.
And speaking of universes, I believe that this comeback aespa have a like a multiverse thing going on with their music video lore. I really liked the Supernova video. I did not understand it at all.
Oh, well, to me, I just got the vibe that was like all these girls, each of them had their own powers and they're just like causing chaos across this imaginary town that they're in. Like they're going the opposite route of when a superhero gets their powers and they're like, oh, I gotta use it for good. They're just like, well, I'm just gonna be causing havoc across everywhere. Winter is flying around causing tornadoes. Giselle has like a cake celebrating her birthday and Aiden's like, hi, burns down the entire place. And Karina's just lifting stuff off. It's like girls having fun. Like I support women's rights and women's wrongs, you know? That was like the vibe that I got from that music video. It's just them having powers and just going ham with it. And then that's like the end. Like there's no moment where they're like, oh wait, maybe I shouldn't do this.
And I guess that brings us to the second single, which is Armageddon. Armageddon is a very, very different song. Where Supernova is like super high energy, and if you started playing it in your car, you would start speeding. Armageddon wouldn't have the same effects. Armageddon is a bit dronier, and for me, it wasn't as immediate. But after, I would say, like the third listen, I really like started digging the chorus. It kind of like hooks itself into your brain slowly. They like get it done, the ends that get drawn out in this sort of drony way. There's something really cool about it.
Yeah, I really appreciate the choreo as well. Like when you see some of the reels, like when aespa do reels about it, you really see like, oh wow, this is such an SM song. I think this song more than any of the other tracks feels really SM. Like this feels like something like an SM boy group would do. Like the choreo as well.
Yeah, the choreo is apparently by Renan, who does a lot of stuff with SM, but also XG. And this choreo is really weird. Like, there's a lot of parts in this which could look goofy if you were not a good dancer. And there are lots of parts that are goofy even if you are a good dancer. But it's kind of, like, cold and angular and slightly robotic. It's just weird. And I guess, like you mentioned, SM boy groups, it reminds me of, like, SHINee's Don't Call Me or, like, Juice. Like, it kind of reminds me of recent SHINee songs. There's something about it. They borrow from the same sort of mood. Kind of dangerous feeling, a little bit alien. And the music video for Armageddon is crazy. I think actually that was probably what made me like the song even more.
I mean, earlier we were talking about, like, Supernova being, like, the music video is insane in, like, a wacky sort of sense. But Armageddon, the music video is insane more in, like, on a visual standpoint. It's like a feast for the eyes. It was like low-key a little bit overwhelming for me. And like, I feel like with you, Tracy, you mentioning how you appreciated the song more, I guess, like attached with the music video. For me, I actually didn't really like Armageddon when I heard it the first time, because the first time I listened to it was when I was watching it in the music video. And it was like, music video, trust stunning, and trust the budget was very high on it. But I was so like overstimulated. I don't really know. Even till now, Armageddon, I like it, but I will be so honest. I think it's probably in my aespa title track ranking so far. Maybe it's more of a grower. Maybe like 2 weeks time, I'll be like, this is the best song ever. Right now, I feel like it's one of my not so favorite aespa title tracks. It's cool initially, but then I thought for like when you get to the next verses and you get to the final chorus that they'll do something more afterwards, but it's kind of the same sound
No, but they layer the vocals on it.
I know, they layer it a bit, but I don't know. I, like, just wanted it.
It is... It's way flatter than Supernova is. I think if, like, Supernova is, like, Thirsty's daughter, then Armageddon is, like, Girls' daughter, which is probably one of my least favorite Esper titles.
Oh, I'm a girl's apologist. Like, I know that is one of... I know that's one of the songs that I think, Tracy, you're not alone. Like, unanimously, a lot of Espa fans are like, oh, that's one of their weaker songs, full stop. I'm like an apologist. I don't know why. There's just some verses I'm like, yes, Ning Ning, sing that part. I'm this, I don't know. But yeah, like Armageddon, I think my favorite part is definitely also in the, when they do their little dance break part, they're like, throw it back, throw it back, throw it back. That whole like pop. I love the beat. I love, like, everything that's going on in there. And again, it's, like, a really good song. I just think it's, like, for my personal taste, it's more of, like, a grower.
Oh, yeah.
When I listen to the album, right now, I go to, like, straight to Supernova. Like, that is, like, my, like, must play. I need to listen to this. It is my medicine for the day. And Armageddon, it's, like, I'll hear it, like, at a later point of the day. Like, oh, yeah, that song exists, too. Cute.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way about Supernova. Like, inject that stuff in my veins.
Yeah, no, I understand why SM kind of went for those two to be, like, their own singles and to be, like, promoted. I feel like they do actually really capture what they're planning with aespa, of kind of, like, aespa having both that spicy, fun girls sort of vibe, but then also in their darker drama girls and now Armageddon sort of end. They're, like, pleasing the both sides. Like, the way that aespa members themselves describe it is, like, Supernova sounds like a tin can and Armageddon sounds like dirt. That's, like, how they described it on their press conference.
Yo, that is actually so... That's such a good description. Supernova is all fluorescent colors. It's all, like, fireworks and stuff. And then Armageddon is, like, muted, foresty, dirt colors. I definitely agree with that assessment.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I totally get why they would, like, SM, their little AR team were like, let's have these two as the main promo tracks and promote both of them. Like, I think they both definitely deserve the moment on the music shows and stuff like that. Oh, I'm so excited to see these live. You don't even know, guys.
We haven't even scratched the surface of aespa's latest album, but let's break things up with another K-pop girl group, Artemis, with their song Virtual Angel. Keep it here on Sin's Asian Pop Nation.
Hello, you're listening to Asian Pop Nation on Sin. We've just played three beautiful, dreamy songs from K-pop girl groups, starting off with Virtual Angel by Artemis, after that drifting into Cruise with Kepler, and finally getting stuck into Bubblegum with New Jeans. And if you're wondering why we're playing so much K-pop this late in the show, right now the team is in the middle of a discussion about the newest aespa album, Armageddon. Last segment we talked about the two promoted songs on this album, Supernova, the pre-release, which we all adore and think is one of the best songs of the year, and Armageddon, which I adore. In this segment we get into the rest of the songs, talking about our personal favourites from the B-sides on this album, and also the artists these songs remind us of. I guess talking about how these two singles are so good, I think, in my opinion, none of the other songs on this Armageddon album come close to the two singles. I think these two are far and away the best songs on the album, and I don't know whether or not you two feel the same.
I mean, Ethan, you want to go first? I have, like, a whole spiel about my relationship with aespa's album.
I do wonder if people get, like, clickbaited with that aespa album. So, like, Annabella mentioned that she listened to about, like, 30 seconds of it before she clicked off. She's listening to it now, so, like, but yeah, like, aespa's title tracks are known for being, like, really experimental and electric and, you know, very, like, out there, but a lot of the, like, the B-sides, like, the rest of the album is just, like, fun, light pop music, which isn't a bad thing, like, for the record. Like, there are a few songs where I can feel like this could have been, like, a Red Velvet song or something. A lot of aespa songs do feel like Red Velvet songs. And that's not like a jab at aespa's music or anything like that. I'm just saying that just girl groups from SM. So it's like that kind of core, the SM girl group core. But yeah, I really like their B-sides especially. I think they've got like a lighter, brighter, poppier sound to them. There's some pretty good bangers in there that is worth listening to. I really like Bahamas. It has a very good like vocal range of the members, and you don't hear that kind of tonality from them from their usual title tracks.
It is a very cute like vacation song, Bahamas. I'm like, oh yes, put my sunnies on. I'm in the beach, living my best life. It paints the picture really well with that one. I think in like the lighthearted and like Ethan's categorization of like lighthearted pop ones that aren't super like intense, like Supernova, Armageddon, Bahamas is like up there for me as well in that lighthearted one. It's just so...
Yeah, it reminds me of like Hot Air Balloon, which is another song they also had, which is like very similar. I love that.
Oh, I do not like that song.
Oh,
but yeah. I respect it.
Oh, okay. No, but yeah, like Aespa has like a very good range of music that they put out in their albums. And I think you see that best when you listen to their mini albums or their albums, because you've just got such a range. Like another one of the songs that I like is Live My Life, which is like a really good like pop rock thing. I feel like that song would be really good as like an encore concert song. It's very like ITZY core. Like, you know how like half of ITZY songs are like rock music?
Yes, it's such an ITZY song.
it's very ITZY.
Yeah, and... on the topic of like songs sounding like other girl groups, Long Chat, obviously Red Velvet, Bahama specifically sounds like Oh My Girl to me. Bahama, like, it would be such a good Oh My Girl title track. And Bahama is probably actually my favorite B-side on this album. It's the one I kept on returning to. I just really like their vocals are just really nice on that track. They're really well directed, really well. They just sound good. They're good singers. They improve any song they sing.
Yeah, Long Chat has a really good rap by Karina as well, I think. Karina and Giselle.
Can you imagine like Irene and Yeri doing that rap? I could. Long Chat is just like those ad-libs are like Wendy. Like listening, yeah. I'm like, this is a Wendy ad-lib. Some parts that even sound a bit like Joy. Yeah, I guess like Aespa are kind of like NCT in that way. Like NCT's B-sides are like beautiful R&B music. And then their title tracks are like, we're going to blast your face off. You know?
No, I get what you mean. Yeah.
Concept, we're a conceptual SM group. We want to leave an impression. And they're like, actually, we're kind of like soft on the inside. It's kind of this album.
Considering this is their first full-length album, you know, I was like very curious on what is like their completed picture that they wanted to paint for Aespa, just being their first full-length album, the hype and everything behind it. My journey with Aespa albums has always been like a love-hate relationship, not with the girls, with the A&R team, because their first mini album, Savage, and I will bring this up every time we talk about Aespa, that first mini album to me is the most like cohesive album. Like if you liked Savage as the title track, the rest of the album kind of will give you what you want. Like it will play around with that mix of genres and stuff you heard in Savage. It is like a very cohesive project. And that is how they started out with their first mini album. And then they had the girls mini album, which I do not like the mini album as a whole. And then they had like the Into My World one. I think that's what it's called. And that one's a really nice album as well. And then they lost me again with, I think the album that came out like right after that or something. And then we have this full album. So my like Aespa album journey has been so iffy. I don't know. I feel like my issue with Aespa albums, but at the same time, I feel like this complaint is not exclusive to just Aespa. I think like K-pop albums in general suffer from like lack of cohesiveness. I don't know. Like this album, right after Armageddon, set the tone and mine. I feel like they kind of are like the little sisters to Armageddon a little bit. And then Licorice is like the cousin of Supernova. And then we get to Bahamas, which is like, oh, okay, the complete switch of genre, like something completely different. But it's like a nice, well-received one. And then we have Long Chat, Prolong, Live My Life, and Melody, which are like now we're in a completely different like storyboard entirely. So I feel like this album... it's not painting like a full proper picture to me. And this has just been a personal gripe I have had with Aespa albums specifically, only because I know that they've been able to have that sort of thing before with the first mini album, Savage. And it doesn't feel like they've got the magic back. The A&R team haven't got that magic back. Every time I feel like I listen to past Aespa albums, there will always be like certain songs I listen to where I'm like, oh, this song is actually nice. just not in this album. Like, it would be so nice if this song was in a different aespa album. Like, this would fit so perfectly. They always feel like they've got the pieces, but they just don't, like, put them in the right puzzle, if that makes sense. That's always been my gripe with aespa albums and this album. The pain.
All right, let's give Leisha some time to recover from that with a song from an artist that she really likes, actually. This is a new release by Ravina called Lucky. This is Asian Pop Nation on Sin. Those three smooth tracks you just heard were Paradise by Ravina, 747 by Dew, and Every Kind of Way by Rocco. We're well into the second half of the show, and we're just about to wrap up our discussion of the new first album from K-pop girl group aespa. This album has us feeling some mixed emotions. While we adore some of the songs of this album, in particular the lead single Supernova, the song choice on the back half of the album did leave us with some questions.
It's not like a bad album by any means at all. I think the girls, like, vocally, they sound really great. Like, the songs are pleasant. All of them are very pleasant to listen to. But yeah.
Yeah, like, definitely with a full album, generally, because the standard album release is like a mini album in K-pop, right? So a full album is like a special event. And this one does feel like they kind of took a bunch of songs that were in the vault and chuck them together to make an album. It does feel disconnected when you're listening through the album. Like, the fact that it starts so strong, but then it gets, like, so, like, soft early on makes the back half of the album feel kind of limp. I don't know if there's even a proper way to transition between those two sounds. None of the songs are terrible by themselves, but they also don't feel like they belong together. They feel like a bunch of people who met at, like, an assessment center or something. Like, it's just, like, very random collection of people. It does mean that we get to hear some sounds that we're not accustomed to hearing.
Yeah, no, like Live My Life, that's sort of like what pop rock, pop punk, I don't know.
That's just straight up.
Yeah. Pop rock, that is just like, I'm like, I've seen that genre being done before, like as a one B-side thing by other groups before. So I was like, oh, okay, this is like a genre that seems to be a trend to have like a B-side about, and I'm like, oh, okay, aespa also hopped into it. TBH, not my favorites. I'm being so honest. Anytime an artist does their take on that genre, it's just like not my cup of tea. Stop.
Ethan's so heartbroken right now. He's like, oh, I like that.
Oh, yeah, you really liked that song too. It's not an exclusive to aespa thing. It's just like that genre is not my thing.
An anonymous sounding genre. Like, all the groups who do it kind of sound similar. And like, there's not a lot that sets those songs apart from each other. Like, I'm like, oh, it's this mold again. Like, every group needs to do like a say-so sound-alike song. Every group needs to do like this sort of pop rock concert encore song.
And then, like, a ballad song.
Oh, yeah. Like, the last track on this, what is it called? Melody? Classic SM ballad. Nice vocals, but anyone in SM could have sung it. It could have gone to literally anyone under SM. But it has some really nice R&B moments in it, so I like it better than Live My Life.
Oh, yeah. And I was surprised, when you mentioned R&B, I'm surprised that this album actually doesn't have, like, they don't have songs that necessarily are tapping heavily into the R&B sound, considering in their album right before the Thirsty, that sort of songs came out, they got a lot of really good fan reception tapping more into that R&B sort of thing. So I was really surprised that there was like kind of nothing sort of like that in this album, and they're really tapping more into like a different realm. Again, that's why I'm like, the A&R team, I don't know what they're doing, and they haven't answered my questions yet, even with this album out.
Just look real quick, the My World album that Leisha's talking about is like an actual 10 out of 10 album. Like, that album is so good. And
that album is so good.
It's not something you'd expect to hear from, like, I don't know, from aespa. Like, aespa is like the big experimental electro AI group, whatever, but like, not whatever, but like that the My World album has so much depth and layer to that, and it's such a nuanced album. And I think, like, I was really surprised when I heard that album, because it was like so far ahead of what I was expecting from an album like that. So yeah, I guess I do agree with Leisha on that in terms of this new album, it's a little bit more shallower in terms of like its like depth of genres and like how layered each song is. Like, I don't like listening to new albums sometimes at work, but this album was really easy to listen to. And I think it also is because, like, a lot of the songs, you can be like, yeah, this is just like if I put like a K-pop playlist on, it's just like, oh, this is an ITZY song. Oh, this is another song. Not saying that's bad. aespa did it really well, obviously. I'm just saying, like, yeah, I do wonder why they chose to have like this really diverse tone.
Yeah, you're right. It is very easy to listen to. So yeah, it is kind of like the state of K-pop in 2024 little sort of capsule. I feel like my base issue with like this album is that aespa are branded very strongly as this sort of like super quirky, aggressive. Like, they're different. And then when you listen to their music, you see their title tracks and you're like, oh, this is so cool. And then you listen to like most of their B-sides and they're like the same as all the other groups. And you're like, oh, they weren't so different after all. It feels a bit like, oh, like a bit of a letdown.
Okay, it's like you got clickbaited, as they mentioned earlier. If you're really going into it for those like title tracks, yeah, like the rest of the album, it like, as you get to the later half, it is nothing like, which I know is them like showing off that the girls can do it all. K-pop loves having like their artists, the industry as a whole loves having like albums where the artist is like exploring 20 billion genres in one album. But the cohesion is where it gets like, ooh, lost, because if you really like this artist for this one particular title track that they promoted and you're like, oh, slay, the rest of the album's obviously going to reflect that. Times out of 10, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Especially very common in like K-pop music.
It's a K-pop issue.
Yeah. Which is why I think the Savage first mini album, dude, I sound like Lee talking about Haikyuu. I'm like bringing it back. That's why Savage, the first mini album, is peak Cohesion Town. I rest my case.
We're here to help the listeners out. And part of that involves recommending things that are genuinely very good.
And the Myro one is really good if you want like elevation past that point. That Myro one's great. But Savage first mini album.
Before we wrap the segment up, what is your top three songs on this album? I've already said my three.
Wait, which one was your three?
Supernova, Armageddon, and Bahamas.
Ah, okay. Mine is Supernova, Mine, and Bahamas.
Oh,
yeah,
mine.
I guess we all agree on two then. We all agree that Supernova and Bahamas
best, are like that girl.
Two songs, yeah.
And then Ethan, what's like your one differentiating third one?
Well, I like Live My Life. I think that song's a banger. And I think everyone should also listen to ITZY's Kill My Doubt album from 2 years ago. That is actually quite good. No, look, I think we shit on that album before when it came out. It's actually a pretty good album. Oh, it came out last year.
Oh, yeah. We did it with the New Jeans album.
Yeah.
We were like, it's kind of okay, but not amazing.
Yeah, that's what I thought about it. I was like, this is so okay. But now, like, these days I have Brady stuck in my head. I don't know if that sounds good. It's just a lot of fun. Anyway, y'all should listen to that when you have free time.
Yeah, so we came out of this Armageddon album with a couple of new recommendations for albums to listen to. Hope you enjoyed us yapping on about this album, and definitely check out the two title tracks and the performances. They are very cool. And oh, we didn't even get to talk about all the fun ephemera around this comeback, like the videos they have on their channel and like the fact that the album has like a CD player version. But I don't know. I think we've talked enough about this
album. This is like a 40-minute segment.
Yeah, you can look that up on the aespa YouTube channel. And if I were to just give one recommendation for an aespa video that isn't an MV for one of their title tracks, it would be to watch the Licorice music video. This is a B-side on the album. The video features them being superheroes trying to defeat a monster that is made of chocolate mint ice cream. And it is every bit as wonderful as it sounds. In the meantime, though, we're going to play some more tunes here on Asian Pop Nation, starting off with Fresh Figure by Brisbane Filipino-Cambodian artist Ixaris. You're listening to Asian Pop Nation on Sin. We've just played Fresh Figure by Ixaris, How to Do by Accused 5, and Ru Hua Jie, Yi Bai Wu Shi Hao, which translates to 150 Reed Street by Meng Hui Yuan. Before I properly wrap up the show, I just wanted to mention that Sin, our radio station, is running a radiothon right now to raise money to keep the station running. The goal this year is to reach $10,000 in donations. Sin is a not-for-profit organization, all the presenters are volunteers, and we're really in it for our love of the community, this little community of passionate young people who really like sharing the music and stories they care about. So if you want to donate to SYN, there is a link to do that on our website at syn.org.au. All donations above $2 are tax deductible, and if you're not able to give money, that's all right. We'd really appreciate you spreading the word about SYN and our radiothon. Hopefully we raise enough funds this month to survive another year. But yes, as I alluded to before, we've reached the end of the show for tonight. Our team tonight was composed of Annabella, Ethan, Jesse, Lee, Alicia, Xenia, and me, Tracy. Thank you so much for joining us as we talk through sports anime and the new Aespa comeback. If you want to re-listen to any of that, we'll be uploading the show as a podcast available wherever you get your podcasts. Just search up Asian Pop Nation. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Asian Pop Nation, and follow our playlists on the Asian Pop Nation playlist Spotify account. And with that, I'd like to end the show with one last song. The title of this track is Bermekaran Dan Mewangi. It translates to blooming and fragrant in Indonesian, and this is a collaboration between singer-songwriter Dia and Pendara, both of which are Indonesian artists. Pendara specifically is a folk pop band from Bandung. This song is from their debut album Ode Matahari. And that's it, everybody. Hope you all have a pleasant evening, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.